Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 2nd, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, to CA Nuri, as we have an open line Wednesday. That means we combine two shows and we have a conversation on what is trending in the news and also what is trending in social media. So that means you can call. Call and what's on your mind. Hopefully we have an opinion on it. And then we can have a debate exchange where you say something, I say something. I say something, you say something, and then we conclude, right? Erin Green is joining me. She have a number of things in the news she says she wants to throw out. Still trending is yesterday, July 1st, was the new laws enacted. We still having back and forth whether these laws are good for tourism, whether these whether we as Bahamians are nickel and diming our tourists. And these particular tourists we're talking about are the boaters who comes in and out. They are up in arms. And in fact, form various lobby groups, form various Facebook, social media groups, where they are blasting the government, saying they are hurting Bahamians. Apparently, they care a lot about us. And they want to expose the government for hurting us as Bahamians. It's an entertaining conversation back and forth. There are a number of Bahamians who are exchanging words with these boaters. And we are planning to invite people from customs. We are planning to invite people in the industry. Why are they up in arms? Why are they concerned? Particularly during this year when it is July 4th, American holiday, when we have a lot of boaters come here. And they say, man, these new fees can hurt them, especially how people are confused in terms of how it's going to be out, roll out. But that's a conversation by itself. But if you have an opinion on that, kindly call us. We'll happy to entertain it. I think Wednesday we talk about Omni, right? So Omni is a what is Omni again, Erin?
That's an AFI, like an authorized financial institute. Of course, that's in the sort of digital currency world. But Omni provides what we call alternate and digital banking services.
They're like a go-between, a surrogate between, instead of having actual money, it's like a virtual money.
Well, one of the services you can use with Omni is that they will facilitate trading of the Bahamian digitally, right? Like a sand dollar. And then I think there are some other things, like you can get like a virtual debit card or credit card.
Okay.
So you could use it online.
And our goal is not advertising them. No. Omni just is involved coincidentally with this particular issue. And we have a news article that we want to go into detail to explain what is the frustration these American foreign boaters are having. And we just happen to have to mention them. But we wanted people to understand what is it exactly. Trending. We have one Bahamian getting deported from the United States. You're getting deported again because this boy getting deported like once, two, three. I mean, every time they deport him, he sneak it. I don't even know how he gets into the United States.
See, because you just assuming he's sneaking in. What if he used a teleport machine?
A teleport machine?
You know, Spock, beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
You're down.
You have that type of technology now?
Not me.
Yeah.
Definitely not me.
I know how he's sneaking into the United States, but he get there three times, and every time they catch him. And then, and not just sneaking in on them, because he might have family and friends there on them. He's sneaking and do foolishness. He's sneaking and then do foolishness and then get mad while they keep on trying to deport him. And I was around with Erin earlier. It's the same reason why Trump trying to get rid of you all in them. You notice who I say here, right? It ain't me. That's a good behemoth. They like me. I be in the house. People like hearing them who like be outside, right? Like making noise and burning down plantations. You gotta send them out their country, man.
Look at this. Look at this flower I found on the ground low down there. You ain't get no invitation to the U.S. Embassy, eh?
No, I did not get it.
Because when they go low, show them the flowers on the ground.
You got an invitation again to go to U.S. Embassy?
Yeah, because when they go, you know, Michelle Obama say when they I'm sure low, you go higher.
Dwight got an invitation.
I can say Michelle.
I'm sure Candia, DM's got an invitation. But I just said every year I can complain. I want to eat good food too.
You keep saying when they go low, you go high. And I keep telling you, when they go low, you go low with them and show them the flowers on the ground.
Show the flowers on the ground.
Yeah.
All the flowers. All the flowers.
I hope they have dancing at the embassy
flowers
body.
Gone. Yeah.
The one year I ain't got no leg.
But you going?
Yeah. Well, I'm
you
hopping.
You have no leg.
I'm hopping along.
You hopping along.
Yeah.
Hopperly. Yeah, man. So let's get that story about this Bahamian boy.
All right. Bahamian indicted in U.S. on illegal reentry charge, 1st of July, 2025. A Bahamian man was indicted in the United States on charges of illegal reentry by an aggravated felon. According to a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office, we're going to call his name Mr. Nuri?
Call his name in the newspaper.
I mean, it's in the newspaper, but
call
I
his
say,
name. No, I call his name.
Okay. To a press...
Wait, ain't no Nuri, right?
Press release from the United States Attorney's Office in the Middle District of Florida. Okay, his last name is Swain. Any relation to Hanasty Tynes?
No, Swain really does.
Okay, okay. Swains, we're not making fun of y'all, Swains. Don't watch nothing. In the Middle District of Florida, Kenfin Lovato Swain, 39, would face a maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison if convicted on all counts. The indictment claims that on May 16, 2025, Swain was found in the United States after having been, quote, removed, close quotes, from the country on three occasions, which suggests this is his fourth. Quote, Swain had not received consent of the Attorney General or the Secretary of Homeland Security to reapply for admission, close quotes, the press release said. It also noted that Swain had been previously convicted of multiple felonies, including possession of controlled substances with intent to sell or deliver. The release said the multiple felonies, including, said the case was investigated by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Removal Operations and will be prosecuted by Assistant U.S. State's Attorney Jeff Chang. It said the case is part of, quote, Operation Take Back America, close quotes, which, quote, marshals the full resources of the Department of Justice to repel the invasion of illegal immigration, achieve the total elimination of cartels and transnational criminal organizations, and protect our communities from the perpetrators of violent crime, close quote. It's a key part of U.S. President Donald Trump's immigration agenda, which he has been aggressively pursuing since coming to office in January. That's the story there, Mr. Nuri. I just thought it was interesting, right? Yeah. Because a lot of people are talking about the Trump administration and some of the decisions that they've made as if the Bahamas is immune, right, to these policy decisions, that these are not things for us to talk about because they don't impact us at all. And I just thought that, you know, in this particular instance, someone who had been what the article says, three times been removed from the country on three occasions before they were detained on May 16, 2025. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly who they's talking about.
That's Trump. The next thing I want to talk about, Aaron. Mm-hmm. We finished with that, hashing it out?
Yeah, also, I just wanted maybe to make a connection to an earlier mm-hmm. comment where a caller called in and said that what he had heard in a discussion, I think, on a show on the Guardian platform, was that the ankle bracelet, electronic monitoring policy, that within that policy, that the companies are charging by the hour.
Really?
Yeah, and that made me think of what we call the prison industrial complex. And the caller indicated that we should not be making a profit in this, right? Like, this space here is not about making a profit. And then I remember being a part of a conversation. Now, when I say a part of the conversation, I was just on the periphery. The people talking wasn't talking to me, and I could acknowledge that with no problem. But somebody said that immigration is an industry. And it made me realize, well, look here, if it's an industry, then there ain't no way they're going to eradicate. Like,
let's pause now.
Eradicate it.
I wanted to move on, but immigration is an industry. Immigration makes money. We make millions of dollars in our immigration space.
Migration is an industry.
Not immigration?
Not immigration.
Well, our immigration department manages our migration. So immigration is an industry. And I wanted to say that we make money through taxes. People come into the Bahamas, through cruise ships, through overhead, or whatever it's called, people, transient people. We make taxes. We make taxes from the boaters who come in and out. We make taxes from work permits. If the people don't come to work, we can't make no money from the work permits. We make thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on work permits. So we need more workers to make some money on deed polls, changing those names. We make money on citizenships, applications. What do you call it? Green card thing. We just call that here in the Bahamas. We
don't
call
residency, it permanent residency.
Permanent residency. It's even just reproducing those cards. Immigration is big business.
Okay, pause. I went to AI, quick reference. AI said migration is a broad term encompassing the movement of people from one place to another, regardless of the distance or duration of the move. Immigration, on the other hand, specifically refers to movement of people into a new country with the intention of settling there.
Yeah, they settle.
Right, so pause. Migration could be an industry.
Yeah.
Immigration can't be an industry.
We making money via immigration.
Oh no, absolutely. I'm not denying that. In fact, I think it should be obvious to people that the bottom line, the economic profit, has been centered in this immigration space, and all policies are rooted in one fundamental principle that money is the most important part of this process. That's much just my feeling.
Yeah, I just want to pause there for a brief moment before I move on.
But immigration nor migration, no matter how you define it, it should not be referred to, operated as an industry. And if you think it should, then look at the last, let's call it 50 years, mm-hmm. and your country's inability to manage immigration. You know why they can't manage it? Because they treat it like an industry.
It's an industry.
No. They cannot manage it because they treat it like an industry.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't get as bad as Turks and Caicos. They having a rough time with immigration. It's overwhelming there. I think the majority of their population is immigrants-based.
Now look at the economy.
Yeah, it's fast.
They're very happy.
No, they ain't happy no more.
People are happy with the amount of money that they're making.
Yeah, but they ain't happy.
But they're not able to make it without the mic.
Yes, see, that's they realize that.
Right, they can't make it outside of that dynamic that they've created.
Yeah. They need immigrants there. And the immigrants just doing what they want to do there now.
So they get like a lack of enforcement.
They can't, because they're short of persons to police. The persons to police are now immigrants too. They far gone. They're far gone. But I want to talk about fires. In the headline, there's a family who's homeless today after an arson attack. Mm-hmm. Arson is a serious charge. I'm not sure why they concluded arson.
Who concluded?
Yeah, that's what I said. I let you read the story.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they concluded with arson, right? Because fire is bad, right? And nobody wants anybody to go through fire. But the term arson has been thrown around recently, increasingly, especially with all these bushfires. People are concerned about in New Providence and by large the entire Bahamas.
Once they didn't say a spirit of fire, because that's Pentecost and that
Pentecostal. No, that's Pentecostal here. They're a spirit of fire still. But at this present time, Bahamians are concerned on whether there is a person or persons who are going around setting people, houses, things ablaze. There might be some credence with it. Like I said, the word arson has been thrown around, but nobody has ever come back and say, this is the reason why we think it is arson. These are the people who've been, have an argument with people, and this is why we think it's them. And I want to read the article. Hopefully this article suggests why the term arson was concluded with. I grieve with the family. I've lost everything. My God. Like, starting over is a hard thing, right?
Especially on the family island.
Especially on the family island. So I'm hoping the community and the Bahamas by large come in and assist, right? I don't even know how, right? Because Red Cross normally comes in and give you some place to live for like a couple of days.
Find temporary housing.
Are there any temporary housing on the family island? Like, what do they do? Like, what's the, and I want to know the process. Not just that I want to know the process for me, but for people listening that when they have loved ones who go through this, they say, hey, by the way, there is a system, and this is a system, right? Yeah. But anyway, let's read that article, Erin.
Today's Nassau Tribune, family homeless after arson attack. Blaze suspected to have started in garage, spread quickly, destroying home. Tears streamed down Janet Dorset's face as she clutched her loved ones in front of the charred remains of her family's 25-year-old Coral Heights West home, destroyed in a suspected arson attack. Mrs. Dorset and her family were asleep when they were awakened by the sound of a car alarm on one of her daughter's vehicles. The noise prompted her to go downstairs to check, but she was unprepared to find the car engulfed in flames. She quickly alerted her husband, and their two daughters ran downstairs in a panic. Quote, we were trying to put the fire out, but obviously it was too big for Zed, sitting on a plastic chair amid the ashes of her home. The family of four escaped through the back door and over a fence before the house was fully engulfed. Police said they were alerted shortly after 3 a.m. yesterday to a vehicle fire at a residence on Roberts Drive, Coral Heights West, Fire Service. Sorry. On Coral Heights West. Fire services arrived to find the entire house and four vehicles ablaze. Police said they were alerted shortly after 3 a.m. yesterday to a vehicle fire at a residence on Roberts Drive, Coral Heights West. Fire services arrived to find the entire house and four vehicles ablaze.
So that's not a family and that's here.
Yeah, it's not so. Okay, but which... Let's add that to the table right now.
Okay.
They got up. They looked down. They got up because they heard the car alarm go off, right? They looked. She looked outside. They were upstairs. They came downstairs, tried to put the fire out. At that point, one car is on fire. And then when the fire services arrive, shortly after 3 a.m., they arrived to find four vehicles ablaze. How long did it take them to get there after they call?
It's a fire drive.
A far drive from where?
From east.
From the airport? This call?
The airport fire station don't necessarily have to. Do you have a request for them to come? The East Street fire station is the main fire station there. And then they dispatch to ask for help from other places. The nearest fire station there would be Lifer Key Fire Station. That's a privately ran fire station, I think. That'd be handy.
So there's a fire station at Lifer Key and there's a fire truck at the airport?
Yeah. And they got to come from East Street.
But they have to come from East Street to put out the fire?
No, man.
Y'all is hire these people and y'all keep paying these people? And for what? For what? So you could watch your house burn down? Let's continue reading from the article. Despite efforts to extinguish the fire, the home and vehicles were destroyed. Fortunately, all four occupants escaped unharmed. Police said they are still searching for the suspect, who was reportedly last seen wearing a white shirt and black trousers and is believed to have set one of the vehicles on fire. Tell us why you believe that. Because you have cameras from neighboring homes. You use CCTV footage in the area. When the Tribune visited the scene hours later, family and friends had gathered in support. Many were stunned that someone would intentionally set the fire. Family members are hoping for swift justice, with surveillance footage reportedly showing the arsonist entering the yard. Asked why someone would do this, Mrs. Dorset said she had no idea. Why they write these? I'm not asking why you write these stories like this. I'm not asking that at all. Family members are hoping for swift justice, with surveillance footage reportedly showing the arsonist entering the yard. Asked why someone would do this, Mrs. Dorset said she had no idea. Quote, I hope they read this and know that what the devil meant for evil, God is going to turn it for our good. Close quotes. She said, quote, they need to be very careful because the revenge is not coming from me, it's coming from him, close quotes. Her husband, Dwayne Dorset, expressed gratitude that the family escaped unharmed, stressing that material items can be replaced, but life is a gift. He added that the home was insured, but they hope to rebuild in the future. Before this, the family said they had never experienced anything like this, only a few break-ins. A few break-ins?
Mm-hmm. There are also in the article, same article, similar. I want you to read from there. That's from The Guardian.
All right.
No one's compare and contrast.
There's also I think, an excellent letter to the editor. Mm-hmm. I'd love to follow up after we read this one.
Who wrote that letter?
It don't matter. One by name Frank Gilbert. I don't know who he is, but the letter has some very interesting information in it. I want to thank Mr. Gilbert for taking the time to express. Person suspected in blaze at Coral Heights home, Nassau Guardian front page. Early Tuesday morning, Janet Dorsett peered outside the window of her Coral Heights home to find her worst nightmare unfolding. Sometime around 3 a.m., a car alarm. If the fire, didn't the other story say the fire truck arrived shortly after 3 a.m.?
This is why I think I need the Guardian version.
Yeah, yeah. Sometime around 3 a.m., a car alarm woke her from her sleep. And upon investigation, Dorsett saw that the garage was on fire. Quote, "I alerted my husband and my daughters heard the commotion and they came," close quote, she said. Quote, "We tried to put out the fire, but what we had wasn't sufficient. So it just quickly spread through the house. We managed to get out through the back." Dorsett watched the home she had lived in for 20 years, leaving her and her family with nothing. "It's a lot because we lost everything," she said, noting they were all still in shock over the incident. "We literally have just the clothes on our backs. Nothing was saved at all."
Wow.
Continue reading on page 5. Police suspect arson. According to their report, police were alerted to a vehicle fire at the home on Roberts Boulevard shortly after 3 a.m. When they responded, they found the entire home and all four vehicles engulfed in flames. Quote, "Despite their efforts to extinguish the fire, the residents and vehicles were destroyed," police said. Police said a man wearing a white shirt and black pants lit one of the vehicles on fire. Dorsett said security cameras captured the perpetrator. "I actually saw the tape," she said. "I don't know why people would be so much hatred in the hearts of people. I mean, I don't know why somebody would do something like this." Dorsett added, "You don't just start a fire and expect everything to go smoothly, nothing to burn, nobody to get hurt. So whoever it is evil."
Clearly, they know the person. Not going to say they. An individual in the house had an altercation between somebody. So nobody randomly comes to someone's house and says,
I mean, okay, so first
of all,
people
that happened? You know how far Carl Howard is?
Hold on. See, the people who commit arson,
yeah,
and then they're arsonists, right? Mm-hmm. And let me say that. There are people who commit arson, and then there are pyromaniacs.
You think we are pyromaniacs around now?
Man, I grew up with at least 3 by them that had a predilection for lighting things on fire.
Yeah, but not lighting people's house on fire, though. You know how far you got to drive to Coral Harbor to go light?
You think the boy drove there?
You think he lived in the neighborhood?
I mean, I just hope he did, because that would make it far easier to catch them, right? And that we should have a report shortly, because the Minister of National Security was just on Morning Blend talking about, can't you all see the results of the CCTV cameras? Just the pun intended, no, we can't see. Hmm. Pun intended. Anyway, let's go to the letter to the editor.
Go ahead,
in the Tribune, written by...
Because I want, you know that they vandalized Dr. Fox's place.
Yeah.
He's saying it's politically motivated.
And they tried to vandalize Fred, too.
They vandalized. They ain't trying.
The fake voice note. I mean, that's definitely a fake. If y'all don't know that's a fake voice note, that's a fake voice note.
Behemoth fickle.
When Fred begins sounding like Bill Clinton.
Mr. Mitchell has a good, distinguished voice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That wasn't him.
No.
Here we go. Needs for fire trucks and islands. Grateful yet again for the opportunity afforded me to be able to raise these several tidbits contained in the caption in anticipation of it being published for the benefit of the reading Bahamian public. This is written by Frank Gilbert. In making the case, I just would like to proffer remarks based on 2 criteria. The first, as a person familiar with firemanship. Secondly, having feel for what small populations will likely need to secure those environments in the family islands. So this boy has experience working with fire or fire service. Do I just wish to quote an initial construct that the commissioner suggested? The commissioner of police, Shanta Knowles, cautioned that even if the $12 million estimate was approved, the procurement will be slow. One engine takes 17 months to be completed and shipping. The proposed fleet includes 4 tankers, 3 ladder trucks, and several fire engines. Just felt the need to furnish some facts about why the differences, usually called pumpers, because of the powerful motor-driven pumps capable of throwing 500 to 2,000 gallons of water per minute. Pumpers draw water from tank trucks, hydrants, or reservoirs, and pump it through heavy hoses. Many pumpers carry 200 to 750 gallons of water in boost the initial attack on a fire. Continuing, the commissioner said that each of the truck or fire apparatuses would be fully outfitted with gear for officers. Now, as I ponder the numbers, I compare it to the feeding of the 5,000 in sacred or sacral scriptures. Definitely does need a miracle from on high to be able to increase the vehicular numbers for the needs that are acute, especially in the Family Islands. And here's the calculations, the tabulations. One, Grand Bahama needs, and this is Frank Gilbert's estimation, Grand Bahama needs about 10 fire trucks and 2 aerial ladder trucks.
They ain't gonna get that.
If one is down, you'll have the other for a total of 12 fire trucks. 2, Exuma Island, 3 trucks will suffice. What's your prediction?
They might get a second one.
The Canadian, the Quebec.
They have to get Quebecis. Donation of old trucks. They can't get no brand new trucks, man.
You demand of the Quebecis, they got Ellen Coakley a whole new bus.
I wonder if it went over your head that it say it can take 17 months for the brand.
Oh, no.
If we come back to that.
I can be honest with you.
17 months before the first truck.
What an indictment. Listen, what an indictment.
Election come and gone by then.
Oh, no, what an indictment. It takes 17 months for a truck to be commissioned, right? From you order it to they can send it to you.
We order it yet. People haven't realized that yet.
That's the point I'm making. We could fire all you. All of y'all should have been fired right now. How many years has David's administration been in power? How many years minus the pandemic and COVID? Because you know those years don't exist no more, right? How many years since the Minnis administration been in power? How many years since the last Christie administration? And y'all get upset at me for asking how much money y'all spent at the 50th Independence Jubilee celebration?
We need to start begging to get old trucks.
Oh, no, I thought we was going to start begging for them to give us answers.
No, I stop asking them for things.
Okay. 3, Andros Island divided into north. North needs 3, and the south 3 for a total of 6 fire trucks. What about Mangrove Key?
Is Gilbert?
Frank Gilbert.
He big eye. Because what are you asking for? We can't do.
I like your eye, Gilbert. Don't mind this.
No, this, Mr. Gilbert.
They didn't even have a truck for Mangrove Key. Mangrove Key needs its own truck, man.
No. They get one truck for the entire Andros. You got to go across from bridge. Or put it on a boat. Can't have no 3 fire trucks. Talk about North Andros have 3 fire trucks.
4, Abaco Island, 4 fire trucks. That makes sense.
Abaco is the most prepared island in terms of firefighting. And mind you, they only have 1 fire truck.
And
they have a lot of water pumps.
You hear what you say? They're most prepared. They can be the most prepared to leave.
Yeah.
The Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Okay, Cat Island, 6. 3 for the north and 3 for the south. you see your phone line?
I won't listen to Gilbert.
Never mind. Gilbert making
call,
sense.
We're coming to you soon. Don't hang up. We're coming to you soon, but I listen to Mr. Gilbert no more.
Okay, right. Long Island, 4 fire trucks.
They don't even have 1. I listen to Mr. Gilbert.
Who's saying what they need?
I understand. I hear Gilbert.
Inagua Island, 3 fire trucks.
By Inagua, don't you have that much? People need a water tanker. Just 1 water tanker.
Eleuthera, 4 fire trucks.
Mm.
Bimini Island, 3 fire trucks.
On that small island?
There's two islands.
Yeah, but the one fire truck they have there, they can't even maneuver. They can't go nowhere because the corners are so small. They got to be a mile off and then...
Let me just make this point. For those people who are very upset at the critique about Bimini, it actually fits the definition of a shanty town. But here's the thing. You remember when Louis Bacon and Nygaard were fighting over the land?
Mm.
That's why Lyford Key is a shanty town too.
Mm.
Don't get your feelings hurt.
Mm.
It's a high-end shanty town. You can go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to both of you. See Alan Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a couple of points. You can have those fire engines and things. You just need an economic development plan.
Man, then we ain't going to never get it. Yeah. It's why you bust your bubble.
But see, I want us to make a note less than 180 days or so away from the second quarter of the 21st century. So we have to look at governance at minimum for the last 25 years. And it's about leadership. And I know people like these other people like to call about, FNM and PLP. The concept that we use political parties in don't change countries. Leadership in each of those parties, and we know how we are governed, almost like an autocratic or whatever method you want to call it, where the leadership makes the determination of the way the country is going. And we see this in Mr. Philip Ray Davis when he says, I now have the pen. I can write check for anything that needs to be done. And so you have to begin to look for the 25 years and ask if these things need to be done and you haven't written the check or have written the check, why didn't you? And so as we look forward into our next iteration of the next 25 years, we have to ask, even if government doesn't have the money, who has the ability to bring together the community, behemoths locally and the diaspora and the ideas to embrace the 21st century to allow us to put people to work so that we can generate the income that the government can tax to have the money to do the things that we need? And so that's the question that's ahead of us. I hear you talking about shelters today.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear oftentimes people have this grand debate on the number of shelters we need. Do you know why you need shelters?
Huh? Tell me.
You need shelters when homes aren't built to the standard to withstand the hurricane or impending flooding or whatever it is mm-hmm. that is done. So if we have a strategy that often uses 12,000 of housing that we need, do you know the study that they used that 12,000 needed housing is from 1984, done by the Right Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram? 1984. And so if you actually think that all things remain the same, and we need 4,000 houses per year, and we are building less than 1,600 of them. So let's flip the 4,000 and say, let's say we need 1,500 houses per year that we did not build. Housing. That would mean today, right, we need 60,000 housing, affordable housing and access. If we look at the number of immigrants we have in the country on work permits, each one of them should be able to designate where they would be living according to our rules for for work permits. So that's 60,000 or more housing units that we need to have within the country.
Okay.
And then we have bragging and celebration of individuals who say we built 10 in the year that we need 1,600.
Okay.
And so, again, it's like we allow this marketing concept, but we live in the 21st century, and I'm saying to you, and I would love for you today, is that we can build those 5,000, 10,000 homes per year and bring down the cost of housing to the current level of 50% of what it is.
I hear you. Mind you, Minister may build no house for that whole duration, and I have no confidence that Pinta them could build a house either. I'm just saying. That's just me. But I want to read in the record about...
I won't finish reading this letter, man.
We finish that?
We can talk about that.
I don't talk. We finish that. Yeah, let me get this call first.
Yeah.
And then we can finish that. Because I hear Gilbert. I just saying, pay no attention to him no more. He big eye. But go ahead, call. I didn't realize we didn't finish reading that article.
Hey, good afternoon.
Do you know, sir, who on the phone? I'm sorry. It can take 17 months. I'm talking to you, caller. Take 17 months. Whenever we ain't ordered no fire engine yet, by the way. We have yet to order any fire engine, even though people said, yes, we ordered a long time. We really find out that we haven't ordered any fire engine yet. And when we order it, it will take 17 months for they to fix it, whatever they need to fix, and ship it to the Bahamas. Did you know that?
I know when breakfast time, feel like it takes 17 months for me to get my fire engine from them, too.
Call you
and the price is exorbitant.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead now. You can respond.
Yeah. You said almost a year and a half it takes for us to get a fire engine.
That's how long it takes.
From you order it to they get it to you get it.
Okay, well, could somebody then explain how come there isn't any fire engine in the Port Michael and South Beach and other places where they have Just explain it because I believe
they right there and you can't see it because you blinded by your reckless distrust of government. I mean, that's what I believe for me.
Invisible fire trap.
I believe they're there, but I can't see it because I don't trust government.
I understand what you're saying, Aaron, but at the end of the day.
Cousin, what happened?
You still there?
Okay, go on. Repeat what you said.
Yes, at the end of the day, we know there ain't no fire engines around here, because if it can take you a year and a half to get a fire engine, right,
mm-hmm.
and that's only one fire engine, that even ain't a dozen, because If it's one fire engine can take you a year and a half, you could do the calculation what it can cost for 10 fire engines, right? Because that means we could possibly, this is the reason why we ain't getting no fire engine.
Mm.
But anyhow, when it comes to that situation inside in Coral Harbor, right? Mm. Coral Harbor, I think, one time had a fire engine posted back in the day inside that area, right? But if our leaders ain't living in these areas with fire engine then we have to investigate that, because where are our leaders living? And
yeah, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment,
because they obviously ain't living in these communities where they aren't no fire engine, and that's inclusive with our family islands. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. There used to be a fire truck right out of Laivaki in that, you know where the city market used to be, that pinkish plaza.
Yeah.
Before you get into Laivaki, mm-hmm. there used to be one. Then Laivaki built their own fireplace, and then that one outside of
They had authorization to build it.
No, no, that's before...
Before Shantytown laws.
I don't know. I just don't know. Laivaki have their own fire truck.
They have their own...
Yeah, their whole station. You know, like how Paradise Island have their own police. And they have their own fire truck.
Which too. You mean Paradise Island has their own... They don't have their own police. You mean there is a Royal Bahamas police station?
You find out who's paying for that. And then also
which you mean
the fire...
find out who's
me?
Paying for
and then,
it.
And then also,
I'm not paying for the police on Paradise Island?
I don't know. You need to inquire. See? You need to inquire.
The ambulance.
Ambulance and fire...
Okay, ambulance and fire truck.
I don't come across the bridge.
What about the police?
They don't come across the bridge.
Them police don't come across the bridge either?
All of that is for that over there. All that for over there. Let's go to these callers.
If I had known you're like plantation living so much, I was going to run a plant. I could run it, you know.
Let's go to the next caller.
Not like I like it,
ambulance,
but I could
fire
run
truck,
it. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Call a girl once. Okay. Call it Langlia. No?
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get back to... Look at the phone line, Mr.
Okay.
Nuri.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. We're making space for you.
Hello.
Yeah,
good
you're
morning.
Live.
The previous caller, I live in South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in South Beach. A fire engine was always in our place, because I call it, I don't know who it is, but a fire engine is always in our police station opposite. And so, I find a boulevard, I think, I'm a boulevard.
So you mean,
they recall all the fire trucks to the headquarters now?
Oh, yes, because I don't see them no more.
Yeah. One in Carmichael, one in Fox Hill, one in off Prince Charles by Elizabeth States, they all be recalled to the headquarters.
For what?
I don't know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Recently in South Beach, and I called the show, and I told the person who called on Naughty Show said the fire engine was not there. But that same fire engine was held that night after 5 with the fire along by the pool. I even people called alone was one of the few negative news that is not true.
Say that again. I'm not quite sure what you're saying, because you need to turn your radio off or down.
Yeah, I was saying, I don't want people call in certain areas, who don't live in certain areas, mm-hmm. and talk about it. The person called on Naughty Show and said Naughty Show has a fire engine. It was never in that police station.
But there was one at one point. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah,
Colin.
But then the fire happened there that evening, and the fire truck was right there since. And that's right across the road over by the pool. So the houses could have got fire. But that fire truck came in use that evening. And the call had no fire truck is usually there.
I got you. Thank you.
Okay, let's finish reading that article, Aaron.
Okay, the letter. Letter to the editor, today's Tribune from Frank Gilbert. He is estimating vehicular needs for family islands. We now at Eleuthera, 4 fire trucks, Bimini, 3 fire trucks, Ragged Island, 2 fire trucks. That was my thing, Ragged Island need 2 fire trucks?
They don't only have 40 families there, man.
Do they have as much as 40?
They don't need no 2 fire trucks.
No, but they have as much as 40?
Maybe 40 individual total on the whole island.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think it's as many as 40 family. But we're not disparaging you, Ragged Island. Crooked Island, 3 fire trucks. Acklands Island, 3 fire trucks. Rumkey, 2 fire trucks. San Salvador Island, 3 fire trucks. Note, I deliberately did not mention New Providence. They would need 35 trucks.
My Lord.
Because as the headquarters, it is anticipated that the bulk of the fire appliances will be stationed in the capital. And so HQ will be able to move them around as the need arises. There's also the necessity to build structures to dull its firehouses. So I do believe that a more workable figure under all of this would be more like 20 million, not just 12 million, as previously figured. Just saying. Note in your deliberations, if I may, a water tanker, the water capacity should try for a 20,000-gallon water tank and not a 2,000-gallon tank. It's much easier to deplete the water contained therein, whereas a 20,000-gallon tank would more likely get much more of the fire accommodated. Two, also ensure that all of the non-ladder trucks were outfitted with two nozzle monitors atop each fire apparatus. For example, the recent Bay Street fire had the department had, say, three or such a fire engine, there would not have been the need to close the international airport and dispatch emergency firefighting equipment from there to downtown. Thank you for your considered contribution. Thank you for sharing your informed opinion.
Yeah.
With us. Don't mind.
No, I appreciate him writing. And it's give us some insight that we need to now ask the powers that be. 17 months is a long time. Deny it's going to take 17 months.
I'd like to know who's going to fall on their sword.
And plus, we thought the fire trucks was ordered.
Long time. Who
can fall? In fact, a minister said the fire trucks was ordered. Now we're hearing that the commissioner of police said, no, we ain't ordered no fire trucks yet.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had the discussion before, and they said, no,
You think there's a miscommunication?
There's a miscommunication.
Because remember, Eleuthera and Exuma got fire trucks in the midst of this conversation. Maybe they misheard and misinterpreted what they heard.
Yeah. But the point is, it can take 7
Oh, no, the point is this is a horrible indictment on successive governments and policy.
Yeah, we acknowledge that. I want to read about the Dr. Fox.
Oh, sorry, I thought you was looking at that.
Fred Mitchell, German, about these attacks they're having on them and this AI thing. So I want to put that in the record.
All right, let's see. Was that Tribune? Here we go, Tribune. FNM Fox Hill candidate claims office break-in was politically motivated. You want to check The Guardian, see the stories in there. Dr. Nicholas Fox.
Read The Guardian, man.
There we go. Free National Movement, FNM, Fox Hill candidate, Dr. Nicholas Fox said yesterday the vandalism of his medical office on Collins Avenue may have been done to intimidate him. I'd be certain. Fox's employees found the office ransacked on Monday morning. He said the perpetrators tried to access his desktop computer and stole tablets that hold patient information. Fox noted the vandalism happened just several days after he was ratified and added he got a, quote, tremendous, as we go to page 6, he got a tremendous response from the public, close quotes. He found it curious that, quote, stuff that contained information was taken, close quotes, but noted, too, that some cash was also stolen. Quote, it would seem like either it was done to intimidate me or it was done to get something on me to have some information, close quotes, Fox said. He continued, so by logical deduction and omission and the events that occurred prior to this makes me believe that it may be political. What are the events that occurred prior to that? Quote, I'm not saying that it is.
I'm not saying that it is.
It may be.
It may be.
And if it is, it's very sad.
If
this is the direction the election is going in, it's going to be sad and it's going to be turbulent.
Mm.
We don't need that in this country. We have enough violence. We have enough crime.
Two story building, isn't it?
We don't need that.
The big clinic on on the junction of Prince Charles and the big clinic,
Fox Hill Road and Prince Charles.
No. The big clinic on Prince Charles and by Kingsway. What a corner name. The name just escapes me right now.
You mean in the back of
the walk-in clinic? And no one call the name.
Oh, we used to call that Bahamas Baptist Corner in Jean Street.
Yeah.
As we
the
call
clinic
that.
Name. Yeah, the clinic name.
Oh,
isn't that two-story?
Yeah, that looked like the three-story.
And
that's his office?
The person comes through the roof.
That's his office?
Yeah.
The person came through the roof?
The people come through the roof. They have cameras like dirt. I mean, you go there, they spot it. I mean, you spot it left, right, and center. They have lights all over the place. The people come through. And I'm not sure if you deal with money. You deal with money.
I underemployed.
Where they to keep the money when they after the end of the shift?
They put it in the thing.
In the safe.
Yeah.
You know how heavy the safe? The people. I mean, the money wasn't inside the safe. Big business.
But he said they only took some. Maybe the bulk of the money was in the safe.
You don't have money cash outside. You put money in the safe.
But I mean, when you run things, okay. That's what I'm saying is not an indictment on the operations at the doctor's office. When you run things properly, you put the money in the
safe.
When you don't, you
get your money taken.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it like that, but a video provided by Fox showed a hole in the ceiling that the suspects might have entered or exited.
A video provided of the ceiling. Any of the ceiling and the people coming through the roof?
I don't mind.
Fox said, quote, every morning when I get to work, I keep stuff in my office and the staff need to start the clinic going in the morning. So what you're saying is...
He need to check his staff. That's what he need to do.
Quote, when they walked in the office, the first thing they saw was the big hole in the ceiling and all the debris on the ground. And then the office was literally ransacked. Did they find a ladder? How'd they get back out the hole? Did they find a ladder? Quote, they had desks. They were searching for the stuff in my desk. They tried to hack into my computer.
They know where his desk is.
I don't know why, because it was on every evening. The man, they must have... That's my personal computer with personal stuff. When I say that, I mean patient information, etc.
My personal computer, I take home.
He's misspeaking. He continued, quote, I'm seeing it properly.
I let you read.
Quote, then they opened the filing cabinet and we have the iPads that we do the daily registration on and patient information. Quote, they took all of those, every last one, some files that I had in that were thrown about the floor. I don't think they read them or anything.
You don't think they read them?
Stuff was just disrupted. It was very disappointing. Quote, I guess you could say I was a bit angry because I didn't expect this. There's just nothing the average person would want in a doctor's office. These patient notes or stuff like that.
Aaron,
so
any minute now, you see for me. People medical records on WhatsApp. Any minute now. And they can say, sorry. They can tell people sorry.
Fox, a first-time candidate, is the co-owner of the medical center group clinics. Okay, so first things first. We need a advocacy group that lobbies for...
Tell people to say, stop it. You need someone to say, stop it. Stop it. Stop talking.
To ensure that we can enforce... Okay, that we create policies and legislation for the protection of information. Like, imagine if we had a data commissioner. Imagine if we had an office of... the data commissioner's office, the information commissioner's... Imagine if we had that. Imagine if we had a ministry, like one like social services information and broadcasting. Imagine if we had these things and then we're able to create policies and platforms and systems to protect Bahamians and their information.
Quick break there, and then we come back and just run through everything in the last 5 minutes. This guy, man down, mashup, where to stay, and we read some things and we just shaking our head and say, wow, stop it. Stop it. Stop talking. We'll be right back.
Bahamas, 700 islands, my archipelago. Sign up now for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. This is our 30th year, and we are doing it big. Sign up for 13 and under Tropical Gyro, 16 and under the Myers Group, Sun Oil, 20 and under in the Church Group, We Buy, You Sell, the Design Group in the Open Division, and for the first time, the Jamaica Bahamas Corporate Division. Competition begins July 14th to the 20th at the Hope Center. And then Kendall Isaacs. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For a medical facility, it's not enough to provide state-of-the-art technologies for the screening, diagnosis, and treatment of catastrophic illnesses like heart disease, cancer, or kidney failure, nor to have certified specialists for advanced medical procedures, a hybrid surgical and interventional suite, nor support services like imaging, lab, and pharmacy under one roof. The Medical Pavilion Bahamas makes them all affordable via its partner to Care Pavilion Bahamas, 72 Collins Avenue, telephone 356-6666.
You work hard, you do your best, but sometimes a little extra support can make all the difference. At Fidelity, we offer personal loans to help with whatever financial challenges life brings. We offer quick, hassle-free, stress-free loans ready whenever you need it. Inquire and make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we get some text correction as in terms of the location of the clinic. The clinic is on Collins Avenue. Dr. Fox's clinic is on Collins Avenue. No one tell me or confirm whether it's a two-story building or one-story building and how they come through the roof. But anyway, I just want to make sure I make it clear. You know, on Collins, on Prince Charles, where I thought it's that one on Prince Charles, but it's actually on Collins Avenue there. Before we go, I'm not sure if you got that voice note. With the people are purporting as being the honorable minister.
I got a voice note that sounded like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, say that's Mr. Fred Mitchell. And I've gone through a whole explanation, but it sounded a little bit like Fred Mitchell. And of course, you know, with all his voice notes, people are able to feed the voice notes into the AI. So we should expect.
The deep fake. Okay, so yeah. Like there's a particular space in the technology, they call it deep fake, right? Mm-hmm. Where they duplicate almost identically the voice of the person that they're purporting to be.
Yeah.
So here's a story released yesterday midday. Mm-hmm. Progressive Liberal Party PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell categorized the LGBTQ-related clip that's making the rounds on social media with a voice clip purporting to be his as, quote, a cruel gimmick from... Okay, let me just say this. The whole PLP administration right now feel like a cruel gimmick, Fred. I just saying. Quote, for clarity, it is not the voice PLP chairman. We agree. That is not Fred Mitchell's voice in that clip. And the content and production did not originate from the PLP, close quotes, Mitchell said in a statement. Now, that part there, I ain't too sure about, right? They show me the investigation, Mr. Mitchell, that proves that didn't come from a PLP party war room or camp. Quote, the material is nothing more than a mischievous abuse of today's technology and a cowardly attempt to promote discrimination. Quote, the PLP again warns the public that in this era of cutting-edge technology and a general election approaching, to be mindful of what is fact or fiction. Quote, under the strong and steady leadership of Prime Minister Davis, the PLP remains committed to the work and advancement of the Bahamian people and will not be distracted by the cruel and creative gimmicks of those desperate for power. Close quotes. You know what irony is? You know what the irony is?
Like
they stalk good in the PLP.
Yeah?
Yeah, they stalk good.
But the idea is there's fake AI out there. We need to be more discerning this election. A lot of fake news is going to be out there. And we knew that was going to happen, actually. We've been talking about it. Said, boy, this election is going to be muddy.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, so we expect it to be bad. And then you see it coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone of the political parties have clean hands, though.
That's it, right? That's it right there.
Yeah.
In the quarter
they all seem to be just manipulating things.
I mean, and they're all perpetuating the same behavior that they're denouncing. See, they denounce it when they are able to accuse their opponent of it. But then they turn around and look at us. When we critique them, they turn around and look at us and say, no, this is politics. You obviously don't understand politics.
Can dirty politics be cultural? Like, this is a part of who we are? That we dirty? We mucky?
Yeah.
That we like it, we enjoy it,
yeah.
We expect it,
mm-hmm.
And if it's not dirty, we don't want it.
Well, these things seem to be ringing true, except for that last part there about if we don't want it. It's a pathology, it's an addiction. It's not about whether we want it or not. Like, we're addicted to it. It's whether we are truly seeing the impact. That's it. Are we truly seeing the impact? Do we see the correlation between the speech of our state actors and what unfolds during the campaign? Do we see a correlation between the words of our policymakers and an increase or decrease in crime, right? Are we seeing these correlations?
Our politicals crash as a people, as a group.
Yeah, because it's not just that somebody decided to create Shane and Robin Pullen Train on the PLP. It's
that really irked you, eh?
It's that
you know, I'm bringing it up.
Because you know what Pullen Train is? It's a sexual act. It's a sexual act that hundreds and hundreds of young girls have been caught. That's exactly what they expect you to do. Mm. That's what the groomer expects you to do. That's what the rapist expects you to do, to forgive and forget. It is one of the most heinous things that has happened in Bahamian politics.
Kirby, you can start playing the music. We're getting ready to go. Tomorrow, hopefully we get more information about this bonus people. My contact didn't contact me back to say he coming on or not. I told him I just come, right? Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to the 12 o'clock break and the news. Have a wonderful day.
This
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.